We're with Brad Hansen. He's an extension weed specialist with UC Cooperative Extension in Davis. Well, welcome to the California Ag Today podcast, Brad.
It's great to be here, Patrick. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about weed pressure in agriculture. We all know weeds are a problem in ag. How big of a problem are they in ag?
So weeds are probably one of the year-in, year-out biggest problems that growers face. Honestly, as a weed scientist, I'm not worried about working my way out of a job. Weeds are very adaptable to our agricultural systems. They like water and fertilizer and sunlight, and we provide those resources to our crops, and the weeds take advantage of that.
Wow, and over the years, we've run into resistant issues on weeds, we all know, and some of them are Roundup, some of them are Paraquat. Describe to me where we see the resistance, and how do we manage this resistance in weeds?
Sure, so herbicide resistance in weeds is really no different than other cases of pesticide resistance. When we use one approach or one tool to the detriment of all other approaches, we're going to select some portion of the population that can survive or tolerate or avoid that control. In the orchards and vineyard systems that I work in, and to a large degree in agronomic systems, we use an awful lot of the herbicide glyphosate or the Roundup type products. And as a result, we have quite a lot of issues with glyphosate resistant weeds.
Okay, so let's lay out some ideas on how to manage this resistance. A little too late on some weed species for Roundup resistance, but what have we learned about these resistant issues that have cropped up on some of these herbicides?
Sure, Patrick. So I think there's one point I really want to make at the outset here. Glyphosate still controls a lot of weeds. So when I go out into an orchard, any given grower is probably facing several dozen different weed species. The ones he or she pays the most attention to is the one that glyphosate doesn't control. You're probably still getting good control of a lot of weeds. So that's the first thing I want to say. But I think it's really important to, just like with our other pesticide classes, is we want to consider the mode of action of our herbicides. We want to use different modes of action in sequence and year in and year out. So we're kind of changing up and creating turbulence that those weeds don't get used to it, I should say. So we have a different approach that could be a chemical approach. It's also really important where possible to include non-chemical approaches, particularly tillage.
Okay, great. We want to disrupt the weed somehow. We need a disruptive weed control. You know, we got two use patterns with herbicides on weeds, pre-emergence and contacts. What's your philosophy on how to use these two patterns?
So I think that's a really great question. In the orchard systems that I work in primarily, I really like to see an integrated strategy that includes both pre-emergent materials and post-emergent. Where I think we run into our really large issues is with growers who only want to use post-emergent herbicides. First problem is we only have so many modes of action in the post-emergent market. By including pre-emergent herbicides, we have another suite of modes of action. The other main part of this is the pre-emergent materials go on before the weeds emerge, right? That's their pre-emergence. So you get the herbicide out there, you control those weeds as they germinate and are never able to successfully establish. That means when you come back later with your post-emergent material, you have a lot fewer individuals to deal with. So if I get 95% control with my pre-emergent material, that means I'm only trying to control those last 5% with my post-emergent program. So in terms of a numbers game, I just have a lot fewer individuals, and I'm probably going to get better coverage and better efficacy out of the second application anyway.
Great. Now, you know, we need to take care of the tools we have, keep them around longer. Comment on that and also give us some examples of, you know, some of the nice combinations of herbicides, the Matrix and the Allion, the Pendar GT with Surflan, things like that.
Sure. In the tree nut market especially, we have a lot of tools available to us. Well, relative to specialty crops, we have a lot of tools. Maybe relative to corn or cotton, not so many. But we have a lot of tools. We have quite a few pre-emergent materials with a number of different modes of action. And I really like to see growers sort of thoughtfully consider the rotation of those pre-emergent materials, you know, year in and year out. I'd really, really prefer if they didn't use the same program more than 2 years in a row. in the pre-market and come back in the third year with something else with different modes of action. In the post-emergent part of the equation, we have fewer options, but we still have several modes of action, and I think growers should be rotating those during the course of the year and in tank mix combinations, trying to broaden our spectrum and be very thoughtful about what weeds we're trying to control and what tools are the best available. One of the other approaches that I've talked about in our earlier conversations is using the tools in sequence to try to give us longer duration of weed control. And what I'm thinking about there is in the orchard systems, we typically start with a wintertime application during the dormant season to control winter emerging weeds. And in many cases, we follow in the spring with a post-emergent program to control the ones we missed and also the late germinating species. I think there's an opportunity to use a second application of a pre-emergent material in that spring time slot to help us with our summer grass control. And I'm thinking here specifically about summer germinating glyphosate-resistant grasses like jungle rice.
Interesting. Would you comment on the rates we should use? We shouldn't come in with half rates. We should come in with full rates. Does that help manage resistance?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point as well. So that's one of our first management approaches is to not cut rates, particularly of our post-emergent materials. It's a little bit different question when we're talking about pre's, but I think one of the ways people try to save money is to cut rates of our post-emergent materials, and that can get us into trouble because basically you're removing the most susceptible parts of the population and leaving the more tolerant individuals. And in some species like ryegrass, that's an outcrossing species, the survivors are able to cross-pollinate and share genes, and you might get an accumulation of several minor resistance genes that way. So really, especially for an inexpensive product like glyphosate, I wouldn't shave the rate.
Okay, let's talk just briefly. Invasive weeds, there's invasive weeds in California. I guess the Palmer amaranth is one of them. Talk about some of these invasive weeds that may be more of a problem. We got to keep an eye on them.
Right. So I think that question gets us back to the heart of an integrated pest management program, which is field scouting. And I think that's the most important first step a grower can make, which is really be aware of what's going on in terms of the weeds in their orchards or in their vineyard or in their field. A couple of things. One, it helps you tailor your management program to the weeds you have, not the weeds your neighbor has, but the ones you have in that field. It also really helps us identify new problems. So if you see a weed you've never seen before, particularly if it doesn't seem to be controlled by your strategy, you want to get on top of that problem when it's an individual plant or a very small patch, not when it's on the whole orchard. It's much less expensive and difficult to control a new invader than it is to control an established problem.
Good point. Any closing comments?
Now, I think my really take-home message is good weed identification is critical to orchard weed management, and then designing programs that avoid over-treatment but bring enough tools to control the weeds we have. And it's been difficult, I think, in recent years because there's been quite a lot of value in the tree nut market, and I think that's led to over-treatment in some cases because there's very high expectation for weed management. And I think I'd like to see us dial that back and use programs as much as we need, but not overdo it because that has economic challenges as well as environmental consequences. And so we want to be very thoughtful and prescriptive about our weed management programs.
We've been with Brad Hansen. He's a UC Cooperative Extension weed specialist based at UC Davis. Thanks for being with us today on the California Ag Today podcast.
Very good. Thank you, Patrick. I'll see you next time.